last couple of years, we've been operating in the last couple of years, leading back into wages, and we'll start back into that tonight. We're going to be in relationship number three is where we're going to primarily at tonight. Do a little bit of recap also. Getting into study tonight, we have relationship chapter two. A couple weeks ago, we read the verse 11 through 21. And we talked a lot about, we're going to read that passage a little bit. I want you to get an understanding of the scripture because I'm speaking here going into chapter three. So let's read verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I was 32 days with Jesus. But before that certain came from James, he did not come. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing the Lord. And the other two were assembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was very good in his situation. But when I saw that they walked not upright, according to the truth, I said unto Paul, if thou, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, we have believed in Jesus Christ that he might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seem to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Therefore, Christ is the comfort. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I hate myself and am careful. For I do the law of the dead, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, and bless I live, yet not I, but Christ is the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself to me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, and I really enjoyed going into that the last time we read this. But we see in verses 11 to 14, we see that Peter's coming to Antioch, and we see in that first verse there, in verse 11, he says, I was slipped in the face because he was in the night. Paul did slip in the face. He called him out, but he was able to say, Paul called Peter out. And why would Paul do that? Well, look, verse 12 is their answer there. Verse 12, for before the serpent came, certain men came, certain men of James, and then from Jerusalem. And we see that they have come in on the scene, and Peter has been teaching the fellowship of the brethren there. But when these men from Jerusalem come in, they're separated from the Lord. They're also separated from the Lord. Why? Because the mere men are the servants of the Lord. What we see here really is Peter playing, Peter's shortcoming here. He needs to fall away of so much that Barnabas also was very quick with their dissimulation. Paul understood that they were not walking on the ground and sought to remove such actions from the emphasis from the culture. Verses 15 to 21 is that really Paul begins
rebuke and telling Peter what's going on. Jews by birth had an understanding of the law of circumcision, and knew more than anyone that the law could not justify man. It didn't long time ago. And as a matter of fact, if we think about it, when we were looking in Acts, I believe it's chapter 15, Peter's even telling them that why would we put the yoke of bondage on our necks again? Why would we do that? Our fathers couldn't do it. We can't do it. And we see that Peter here is I am the hypocrite. That's what he's doing. But knowing that the law condemns all, not justified by the works of the law, but justified by our belief. And we see that in verse 16 here in this passage. We're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. And we could not keep the very law that we destroyed. Why would we live off of something based... Why would we live for something that we could not attain to, that we could not live up to? And if we tried to live again by the very law that we broke and destroyed to begin with, we would still just be transgressing and sinning against God. And then going further into this passage here in chapter 2, we see the old man has been crucified, and because of Christ's sacrifice and my acceptance of the freely given gift of salvation, Christ now lives in me, and now the life I live here in the flesh is spent living for Christ who loved us enough. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? And gave Himself for us. We can rejoice in the gift of our salvation. If we were to some, and I love this because verse 21, I said this was Paul's mic drop really here. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Says it pretty clearly. If we were to go back to the old things, if the law could make us righteous, then Christ would have died for no reason. And we know that judging by Scripture and in our hearts, as we have come to believe Christ, those of us that are saved, we know that it was all for nothing. It was all for everything. It wasn't for no reason. Praise God. Galatians chapter 3, let's read that real quick. We'll pray, and then we'll get into the next portion here because it really just digs a little bit deeper. And we see kind of a different, we see a change in the way Paul is speaking to the Galatians here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So when they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's us. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we get to have together, Lord, in your word. I just thank you for allowing us to have the opportunity to search it, Lord, and to understand it. And Lord, we do come here this evening, Lord, searching and seeking, Lord, just some understanding and Lord, the knowledge of your word. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to go through it. And Lord, that you desire us to do so, Lord. And I just ask that you just be with me tonight, Lord, as I speak. I pray that you just help me to just be able to speak clearly, understandably, Lord. Ultimately, Lord, that I'm not the one preaching this message. You are, and I pray that you just use me this evening and as a mouthpiece, and that is it, Lord. But I pray that you just give me the just the confidence, Lord, and Lord, I know that I have confidence in your Scripture, and I pray that you just bring it to light for us. I pray that you just open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to the things that you have us to hear, and I pray, Lord, that we would apply them if necessary, Lord. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your church. And Lord, I pray that you just bless these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Verse 1 here, verses 1 through 5, we see there's a series of questions. I mean, Paul's interrogating these guys, but there's a main theme to it, and we'll see what that is here in just a minute. But verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians. And if you do the translating on this, it literally says, You stupid Galatians. You idiots. And I don't believe that what is happening here is Paul going out of his way to be vulgar or diminishing towards them, but he's like, man, you guys aren't using your brains. You have the ability to think and do things a certain way, and you're just not doing it. You're being dumb. And I find it's humorous, but it's the truth. And I think, man, that's me. I believe that is me. But we see, going on into this verse, we see he also says, Who hath bewitched you? Now, this word bewitched means, in this time, it would have meant a spell. Who has cast a spell on you? Who's tricked you? The idea of bewitched is a spell. As if a spell had been cast on the Galatian people, the Galatians struggled with obedience, but more so, they were very gullible. Very gullible. And I think, man, that sounds so familiar, doesn't it? We're so gullible. when it comes to the truth of God's word. But not so much the truth of God's word, but others coming in and trying to mess us up and get us off track. And then we see going on to verse 1, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Christ hath been evidently. The idea here of evidently, the word evidently here could also mean clearly, obviously, plainly, in a way to be seen and understood. And Paul's basically saying, you dummies, who's tricked you into not obeying the truth? What truth? The truth that faith in Jesus Christ justifies us before God, not the works of the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He says it very plainly there. But Paul goes on to say, in this word evidently, he says, we basically have billboarded this thing. We plastered it in front of your very face, your very eyes, the gospel of Christ, so much that he might as well have been crucified right in front of you. The gospel has been so clearly set, the truth of the gospel has been so plainly put in front of you that he might as well have been crucified. And you're just allowing these things to come in among you and cause a mess, cause a huge mess. And then we see going on into verse 2, this only would I learn of you. He says, I just want to know one thing from you. I just want to know one thing. Let's see what he wants to know. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Man, that's a pretty valid question here. Did you receive the Spirit by works or by believing in faith what you heard? And we'll see the answer to these questions, these series of questions, as we get further down. But we know what the answer is. But it's important for us to really think. Verse 3. Again, are you so foolish? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing... I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Paul says, are you so ignorant? Are you so dumb that you think by having received and started in the Spirit that still your flesh could somehow made you perfect? The very flesh that has condemned us and brought us before God, condemnable. I mean, we're completely incapable of doing anything right in this flesh. I think we can all agree. In verse 4, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Have you suffered so many things in vain? I think, judging by the scripture and Paul's statement here, we have to assume that the Galatians at some point had really suffered some persecution. And most of these churches probably did back in that time. The Galatians had probably dealt with some of the synagogues in that area, the Judaizers at that point, and standing for the truth of God's word. And who knows what could have happened? The mockery, maybe actual physical stuff could have taken place. But Paul's point would be, have you suffered for nothing? Have you stood for Christ's name for no reason? Because if by the flesh that you could be justified, then it was all for nothing. It had absolutely nothing. I mean, it was worth nothing. Your time, your efforts, your faith in Christ at that time, it means nothing if you're walking away from it. Was the very gospel you were standing for not worth the persecution? That's a question we could ask ourselves, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in the application and stuff, but is this gospel that we serve, that we obey, that we have faith in, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it worth the persecution to you? Is it worth standing before somebody and taking it? Whatever it may be, the mockery, maybe a beating, who knows? Is it worth it to you? And going on into verse 5, we see the last question here. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you.
I really couldn't do it by myself. I really am not capable of doing anything right. And I feel like
something we repeat and say over and over again. It's something that really is locked in on. We're not. Same faith that Abraham had when he believed God. That's what it is.
Thank you.